Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday of a bye week, October 17th. We're almost to Halloween, 2 weeks from Halloween. I don't know if anyone else in the world is excited for that, but I am. And so Sunday of a bye week, myself, TJ Pittenger, Richie Barnes. How are you doing today, bud?
Yeah, TJ, I love Halloween. So I don't know why anybody would not. Shout out to Don't Go Out There podcast. I actually just bought a shirt from them today just because I was in the mood. But yeah, it was a great weekend because the Bucks took care of business on Thursday night. I didn't know until I woke up Friday morning, because that's what I do when the Bucks play on a weeknight. And, you know, Florida State does not lose, and a couple in-state schools, well, all of them took some L's this weekend. So a great weekend of football so far, and there's a really bad football game going on right now.
A bad, good football game. It's kind of like a dog that's really ugly that he gets cute. Like, that's what this is. So yeah, like, that was just a terrible pass that set through over the middle, and Waddle found a way to go up and get it. But like, it was a terrible pass, not good. So anyway, yeah, no, excited to be here, excited to do this. It has been 3 weeks since Florida State lost a football game. Hoping to get that streak up to four next Sunday when we do this again, as Florida State takes on the easiest opponent left on the schedule. We'll be pretty quick today. We appreciate those hanging out and tuning in. Just want to kind of stay consistent and keep doing this, but we'll be fairly quick. Obviously, no game to break down. We'll talk a little bit about some of the rivals, falters, a couple of them that ended up losing games, one that ended up winning a game on Friday night. We'll talk some recruiting, talk a little season outlook, and then get out of here. After maybe talking just a little bit of national football, we'll see how far we get and how quickly Richie needs to get over to SeaWorld. Richie's definitely casual Sunday over here. Sun's out, guns out. It's nice weather out today. Does it feel good in Orlando? It feels great outside.
It was gorgeous. And I knew it. So I was, you know, spoiler, I was supposed to do like a bunch of stuff around the house yesterday. We have a company coming to stay with us. So I have a family of four staying with us tonight. And I put off the yard work, and I woke up around six this morning, went outside, and I was actually happy. I did probably an hour of yard work and did not break a sweat. It felt amazing. I'm sure it'll be a little more toasty when I head out to SeaWorld here in a few, but always a good time going there. It's great for adults, kids, doesn't really matter. If you can't have a good time at SeaWorld, you probably watched Blackfish one too many times.
I got up and took the kids to church. My wife's in Orlando with her mom on a girls' weekend. So I stepped outside and I was like, holy cow, this feels amazing. So I'm about to go drop the kids off with my mom and then work on cleaning out my garage today. And so I'm excited to be able to do that today. I'm glad I didn't get as far yesterday as I wanted to in that, because
real quick, TJ,
good weather.
I saw the best tweet this morning. I don't know if anybody noticed yesterday, but Tom Brady tweeted something like, I miss having a real fall. Giselle quoted, said, oh, are we looking for a trade? And then someone tweeted today, I forget who it was, but he's like, Tom Brady says he misses fall. The very next morning, we have a brisk, cool weather in Tampa. God is real.
Okay, not to one-up your Tom Brady tweet, but did you see what Lane Kiffin tweeted? Because that's the tweet it was like last night at 1:30 in the morning.
He's been tweeting a lot.
This is a tweet of like ever. He tweeted Vol football and with a bunch of orange hearts. And then it's the George Costanza. Let me see if I can just do this.
Never a Seinfeld guy. So
that's part of your problem there. But anyway, yeah, no, this is here. I can pull it up for those watching. It's where George is like the marine biologist and he pulls the golf ball out of the whale to save his life or whatever. And so anyway,
I love that he got hit by a golf ball yesterday.
Obviously Lane holding the golf ball at the end of the game was pretty fantastic. Here
I love
it
that
is.
He threw his
here
I
it is for
he
those
threw his visor into the stands as well.
Yeah, here's his his tweet. So for those watching or subscribed on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever.
That is great.
You get to see it. So yeah, that's pretty hilarious. I mean, he is funny. So
well, even his pregame interview, he stops the interview. He's like, "Hey, I don't think they like me here." And the ESPN guy is like, "Yeah, I don't think they do either."
He's pretty hilarious. So all right, cool. Let's jump into this. Let's talk some stuff and let's get out of here. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations at 1818 West Tennessee Street and 2550 North Monroe. Make sure you get your gut box double fries, no slaw. Richie pounding the IPAs before noon today. Gotta love to see that.
Absolutely.
It's again,
bye week in SeaWorld with toddlers.
Bye week beers. And yeah, SeaWorld with toddlers more so. Okay, so a little bit of recruiting. We don't dive deep into this. Maybe we should have got Sinone or Newberg or somebody on to talk about some of this stuff. But some concern in the Florida State world that was quickly, maybe appeased is the right word, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Quenched. I don't know what the right word there is. I don't get paid to write for a living. But Travis Hunter visits UGA for their matchup with Kentucky, which we may or may not have some time to talk about at the very end of the show. Obviously, everybody kind of freaks out because Travis Hunter, Florida State's number one commit and number one player in the nation, taking his second visit this month to Georgia, had some people worried. He came out and basically put out a tweet that said, hey, don't read it. Like, I'm so committed. FSU's my dream school. Went on an interview Thursday night when his high school was playing and basically said, like, look, I'm not going anywhere. You got nothing to worry about, blah, 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 blah. Richie, your worry level, does that feel like one of those, like, he's just saying the right things? Or, I mean, you'd rather him say that he's not leaving than just be silent, right? Like, but what's your thoughts around it?
It's tricky because, you know, the one visit to Georgia, you know, a week or two ago, what, you know, not a big deal. Again, he lives 30 minutes from there. So it's an easy trip for him, you know. And again, it was another good game. It was 2-6-0 teams. College game day was there. He lives 30 minutes. Florida State's on a bye. I'll say this, my worry level right now on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 2.5. But if he shows up to, you know, a 2 or 3 more Georgia games at that point, then yeah, that worry level can increase. But again, Florida State's on a bye. You know, he's a football player. I said something yesterday and I stand by it. If I was a 5-star number one player in the country, I would take all 5 official visits and I'd be at a different football game every single week. I just don't see why you wouldn't take advantage of that as a 17, 18 year old kid who has a chance to, you know, play anywhere in the country he wants to. He sounds like he's still locked in at Florida State. Again, I'm not worried yet. I certainly get why Florida State fans are worried. I'd almost rather him show up at like Alabama or, you know, different schools instead of the same school for 2 weeks. But again, if he shows up to the next, you know, the rest of the Georgia home games and doesn't get back to Tallahassee, you can worry. But I think he's going to be in Tallahassee when Florida State hosts Miami, a game that we might have a chance to win now. So I'm not overly concerned about Hunter at all. Sam McCall, who's Travis Hunter's kind of been the one who got him in the boat, said the same thing. He said, you know, he's locked in, but he's keeping an eye on coaching changes potentially. The class as a whole, I know we'll get into one decommit here really shortly, but as a whole, I think the class is pretty solid because most of these guys said yes to a team that had won 3 games last year, right? It's not like they said yes to a team that just went to the playoff and then fell off an edge, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And slightly concerning. You know, my buddy Aaron put out the tweet that said something like, you know, Norvell texting him to, you know, put out, too. You know, stay, I'm so committed tweet or whatever. You know, you'd rather him say something, not say something, right? Because if he was just silent, you're automatically going to assume the worst. But, you know, he probably ends up at Florida State. Obviously, anything could happen. Kind of need to see how Florida State's season's panning out. What I've been told is they've told these kids that they were going to go 6-6, and they're probably not going to do that. But there's a chance they get to 4 or 5 wins. And so I think that you can kind of sell 5-7 and you'll have to upset somebody to do that. But, you know, if you can get there, I think you'll be in pretty good shape. Like I said, you'd rather him say something than not. And so he's going to do what every other kid's going to do. You know, I'm committed until I'm not, you know, they're all committed until they're not. So,
and it's much easier to keep a kid committed than to flip someone. So I think that's where Florida State fans need to feel, you know, happy about. I know we're going to talk about a decommit here, but Travis Hunter, he's given no indications of even considering decommitting. So and he seems like a guy who's, I'm pretty sure he's an early enrollee who will be signing in December. So Florida State, just don't crap the bed from here on out. And I think we're going to sign Travis Hunter.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about some of that. We're going to talk about what, things look like for Florida State going down the stretch. We are at the midweek, the midway point of the season. So bye came at what I think is a good time. We had somebody ask about that earlier in the year, but bye came at a good time. Focus for this UMass game and then go out and play a Clemson team that looks beatable. We'll talk about that schedule in just a moment. You mentioned a decommit, Alu Ball, been in the works for a while, ended up decommitting, offensive lineman. UGA seems like that's where he'll end up. Was it? I saw some chatter about this on the time. Was he at the game yesterday as well? I don't know if that was just chatter or not. I never saw that confirmed. But looks like that'll end up being UGA. Not a great situation there for Florida State to lose a Alu Ball, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, right?
And that's where Florida State is, right? You know, where we're sitting here, we're encouraged going back to the second half of that Louisville game where Florida State's defense kind of dominated. And, you know, they played well since, you know, beat Syracuse, and it was close, closer than it probably should have been, and then kind of handled North Carolina. But yeah, Alu Ball, I mean, look at Georgia, just turn the TV on. They are the most dominant team in the country right now. Probably the most dominant we've seen since that LSU team with Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. Yeah, it makes sense. And you're not going to keep everybody on this commit list. We said that a few weeks ago. And again, we don't get into recruiting, but it was clear we're not going to keep everybody when we started 0-4. Alu Ball was trending before the season started. A lot of insiders are saying, yeah, Georgia's one to watch here. You can't be upset about that one. You know, Elijah Pritchett committing to Bama. So a couple of offensive line misses. But look who you're losing to, Bama and Georgia, right? Like, that's not the worst thing in the world. If you can still beat, you know, the other 125 teams that are not Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, and whoever number five is, you want Oklahoma, you want to throw in there. So it sucks. But Florida State still has the number 11th ranked class in the country, according to the 247 composite. 17 total commits. I think they'll be pretty active in the portal again. So yeah, it sucks to lose Ball, and there's no sugarcoating that. That's a guy that you definitely wanted in this class, but you still have a lot of, you know, quality offensive linemen committed, and hopefully you find one in the portal. You know, maybe you can find a sleeper and we'll be okay. And Ball's probably not gonna be the last guy to defect from this class, but he's still Mike Norvell still has the number 11 class in the country. And if he can close the top 15 class on a 4-8 or 5-7 season, I think you gladly take that, especially if it involves guys like McCall Hunter and AJ Duffy.
Yeah. Speaking of the portal, Brian Robinson, wide receiver transfer, or puts his name in the portal. Wide receiver depth is not something that Florida State has right now at any kind of measure. You know, but it also kind of fits that, you know, not to, you know, put lipstick on a pig or whatever kind of cliche you use. That also kind of like fits the kind of team that we have right now. Obviously, we want to run the ball a lot. We want to use Travis's legs. We want to use wide receivers sparingly and in big moments and in big spots. You mentioned Wilson and Helton the other day had three catches for three touchdowns, right? And so I think we want to – now, obviously, you're not going to go 3-for-3 like that every single week with your – guys,
but it'd be nice to have that efficiency.
I think that's kind of the offense kind of want to run. But Brian Robinson hits the transfer portal. Will doesn't seem like he'll continue on with Florida State. I know guys have jumped in and jumped back out, but that doesn't seem like one that'll be coming back anytime soon.
No, and it, you know, it stinks because again, he's a South Florida talent, you know, 5'6" kid who, you know, very talented, but he's not been healthy the vast majority of the time he's been here. Sounded like he had a promising spring or fall camp, but I don't know if he is healthy and he's not seen the field now. It's interesting. And I don't judge any high or any college kid who hops in the portal, because I've never been in that position before. I just don't know why you do it in the middle of the season. Continue to work with the team, get the reps, get the practice, and maybe you do see the field and can put some things on tape that another school would say, hey, I could use that guy. I don't know. Again, best of luck to him. It just didn't work out for him at Florida State, which sucks because he was a top 100 player coming out of high school, and he picked Florida State over Florida. So it was a big get, but just did not work out for the Garnet and Gold this time around.
He was a 4-star, just to put a little context with that, 4-star, top 200 kid. He was number 180 player nationally, 32nd best wide receiver, 28th in the state of Florida. So, but a good prospect, a good 4-star.
Yeah. And he still has a good future potentially. So
yeah,
best of luck.
For sure. All right, little midseason review. Richie put some stats in here for us. Oh my goodness, is Tua playing? Was that Tua that just threw that?
I don't have my I don't have the TV on in here, so I have not been watching for the past 15 minutes or so.
It's the dueling turnovers. Trevor Lawrence just had a strip sack, and then it looked like the very next play Tua just threw it. I don't know. There was not a wide receiver in the area. It just, you know,
that first half was comically bad.
Yeah, well, it's like, the third quarter is not much better.
So. Like Miami's punter had punts for 30 and 37 yards in the first half.
I wonder if I can. All right, we're probably going to get banned for doing this, but share screen. Hold on. Let's see if I can do this real quick. Look, this is bad. Like, there's nobody even there. Who is he throwing that to? What in the world was that?
And Miami fans, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Y'all could have had Justin Herbert, and you did not want him.
Or Deshaun Watson. So anyway.
They want.
But anyway, yeah, rough there. We'll probably get banned for showing an NFL clip for 15 seconds on our page. Okay, Richie put some numbers together. Let's talk about FSU midseason review. That's kind of our recruiting and depth chart kind of breakdown. The other thing I'll say is, like I said, I think the bye comes at a great time.
Perfect.
Guys looked pretty healthy last week. You'd hope that they stay healthy during a bye, and then against an easier opponent in UMass, you'd hope that you can kind of stay healthy and be kind of all cylinders go against that Clemson game. So Florida State in the S&P Plus, 55th overall. Number 36 on offense, 71 defense, 42 special teams. Does it shock you that Florida State has a top one-third offense in college football? That their offense is ranked in the top third of all teams? Gosh, I can't speak, but I think you knew what I was trying to say.
No, it makes me wonder, and I do think bringing McKenzie Milton in was the right thing because I think he's done phenomenal things in that locker room, but it makes you wonder if Jordan Travis, and of course, he's got to be healthy. But if he had been healthy and played every game this year, are they a top 25 offense? Because when Jordan Travis, as unorthodox as it may be, when he's on the field, they score touchdowns. They scored a lot against Notre Dame, a lot against Syracuse in North Carolina this last week for Florida State standards currently. I'm not overly surprised. And when you think of like a guy like Trayshawn Ward, who's the number one running back in college football, according to Pro Football Focus, you have some stuff to work with, and it's exciting. But again, Jordan Travis just has to stay healthy because, and I love the McKenzie Milton story, but that offense, if McKenzie Milton's playing every single snap this year, is probably in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, no, and you just, it's frustrating because if Jordan had been playing, all of the games, probably are sitting at, I don't know, 3-3, worst case. If you took, even if you took the Louisville game, and Milton did enough, it wasn't by much, but Milton probably did enough to win that game too.
Defense let him down for 30 minutes.
Yeah. So, I don't want to put that loss all on Milton at all, but it's frustrating because had Travis been healthy, you probably win the Jacksonville State. You almost assuredly win the Jacksonville State. And then you probably have a pretty good chance to beat Louisville as well. Milton did lead the comeback against Louisville, and I'll say that. Like, he did play much better in the second half. And,
Parchment may have let him down on that last play a little bit.
So, frustrating. But it probably means you would be 4-3 next week if and when you beat UMass, if you just had that Jacksonville State game. And so how much different does this season feel at 4-3? And then obviously how much different does it feel at 5-2 with a loss to the best team in the ACC that was kind of disappointing, and then a big a good loss to Notre Dame, right? Yeah. So
it's funny. I went back to check our season preview episode with Sam Moore of the Listen Up podcast. Shout out to him. And I had us at 3-4 at this point in the season, or after UMass. So I had us at 3-4 after UMass. I just did not pick the games right, because who could have saw Jacksonville State coming? And it is what it is. But I think there's still a path to get to 6 wins. It's going to be extremely tough, though. But I think we can pencil in a win this week. So we're at 3-4. We have to win 3 more games. Are they out there? I don't know. TJ, I think you're about to go over some SP Plus rankings for the final opponents on the schedule. They are not updated after this past weekend, and that should be clear when TJ reads these out.
Yeah, because they should change and move a little bit around. But going into this weekend, UMass was 128. Clemson 5, NC State 37, Miami 26, BC 35, and UF 4. I do think that some of those teams are going to drop. Clemson will drop. UF will drop. NC State may rise. BC will drop. Miami will drop. NC State had an impressive win this weekend. We look at the ESPN percentage breakdowns quite often here. Still saying that Clemson has about a 90% chance to win that game. NC State has about a 75% chance to win in Tallahassee. Miami has about a 65% chance to win in Tallahassee. Boston College, about a 67% chance to win. And then Florida with about 90 as well, a shade over 90. So Florida State has a little bit less than 10%, according to them. I do think those are updated. I checked them late last night. They were slightly different, like percentage points different. Some of them went in our favor, a percentage point or two. Nothing changed drastically. The one I didn't mention was, of course, they have a 97% chance to beat UMass. Obviously, if we lose to UMass, I don't know that I'm doing a show next week. So, you know, that's to get Harlan to do this with you. But
Mike's got to go if you lose. We ain't losing to Walt Bell and Dante Pimpleton.
Yeah, got to win that one. But Florida State, yeah, I mean, you know, this is a good transition into the way the rest of the schedule looks. You know, they're going to beat UMass. They're going to be 3-4, and then they're going to go to that Clemson game the day before Halloween. And the biggest issue is that Clemson will not overlook FSU. Florida State has not been good for 4 or 5 years, but you still get every team's best because you're Florida State and you have that brand and there's that recognition. And so teams know, man, this is my shot to get FSU when they're down. And that's why you get Louisville's best game. And that's why you get Syracuse's best game. And that's why you get Jacksonville State's best game and Wake Forest's best game. These teams are obviously losers, you know, in the grand scheme of college football. They may have a good year this year or that year but like these teams aren't any good in the grand scheme of college football. But when they see a team like a program like Florida State, top 15, 20 program ever struggling, I mean, that's when they want to get their shots in because they know they're not going to be able to do that forever. And so the thing about Clemson is you're not going to sneak up on them, but their offense is really, really bad. They beat Syracuse 17 to 14 this weekend. Syracuse missed a field goal as time expired or just not as time expired with just under a minute to go.
An easy field goal
on a 4th and 1 that Dina probably should have gone for. Yeah. You just got to kind of trust your guys to get that 1 yard. I think it was 3rd and 4 and they picked up 3 running the ball. Got to go get that 1 yard. And they were driving. I mean, they were well inside field goal range, may have scored a touchdown there, may not have, but, game should have at the very least gone to overtime with a closer field goal after picking up that first down. So they really should have lost to Syracuse this week, who Florida State beat. You know, Clemson and Florida State beat Syracuse by the same amount. Two very different games. Clemson's defense is much better than FSU's, but I think FSU's offense is much better than Clemson's. So I think that game will go back and forth. I think it'll be just like the Syracuse game. And as long as Florida State doesn't make the detrimental mistakes, the big turnovers, things like that, I think they can be in it. Now, I'm not predicting Florida State wins that game, but I do think that they can be in it. I think it also benefits Florida State that Clemson goes on the road and plays a very good Pittsburgh team this weekend. Pittsburgh's 5-1, and ESPN says that they have a 63% chance of winning that game. Pittsburgh, their only loss of the season was to Western Michigan, kind of a weird game that they lost 44-41. They, you know, kind of an inexcusable loss for sure.
And Kenny Pickett's the best quarterback in the ACC this year. I don't think it's close right now.
Oh, he's been killing it. Yeah. And so they're going to go get beat up on the road at Pittsburgh. And so, you know, you'd love for them to, and we kind of, you know, have the 2 weeks to prepare for Clemson. And so, you know, kind of grasping at straws in a way to win that. But if there was ever a season to upset them or a year to upset them, it would be this one because their offense is just absolute garbage. And if Florida State wins that game, they'll go into every game for the rest of the year thinking they're going to win. I'm not saying they'll win every game the rest of the way because obviously there are teams left on the schedule that have already beaten Clemson. But if Florida State can find a way to upset Clemson, they won't go into another game thinking that they're going to lose it. So that'll be a big one. That'll be a lot of fun, that game.
It's just weird that we are sitting here 6 games into the season talking about potentially beating Clemson and not being a surprise, right? Heading into the season, we thought for sure, like, you could have given me – you know, 34.5 points. I'm probably taking Clemson at that point right now. They can't score 34 points. So you feel okay about your chances. But like you mentioned, TJ, that you're right. Like that Florida State, that spear on the helmet still holds a lot of weight. I remember my senior year, North Carolina was not good in basketball. Me and my good buddy Weston, who I'm actually going to meet at SeaWorld here with his kids, got a call from Coach Ham's office, said, hey, we got seats for you guys right behind the Florida State's bench in the Dean Dome. And we drove up on a Wednesday morning to the game, came back that same night. North Carolina was not good, but we watched that game, and it was Florida State. Clearly, they saw Michael Jordan and you know, all Vince Carter, all the greats, Jerry Stackhouse, all the greats from North Carolina on the opposite bench, because they just ran them out of their own gym. And that's kind of, and we still felt good as Florida State fans. Like, yeah, we know North Carolina sucks, but we still beat North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Florida State is for everyone in the ACC. Even when we're bad, people go look at attendance numbers for any ACC game when Florida State plays there versus their average. I guarantee you more people show up in Florida State's there because we built this conference, right? The ACC was nothing until Florida State came into the conference in 92. And ever since then, we built this thing. We've won far more ACC titles than Clemson since we've been in here. And it's going to be tough. But yeah, UMass, easy win. Clemson, I'm probably picking Clemson, just to be honest, because I think player for player, we can't match up. But I'm not saying we have no chance, because that's a game we could win.
If they'd have lost to Syracuse, I also had them losing to Pittsburgh. If they'd have been, if they'd have come in on a 2, I'd have probably picked FSU. But let's see how I want to see how we look against UMass. Not that you can really glean a lot from that, but I want to see how they look against Pittsburgh, and then maybe I'll.
I think you can glean a little bit.
I get a little bit spooky with my prediction there.
I think we can learn a little bit if we beat UMass like we should. You know, 48-3, 48-10. Don't let it be like a 31-14 game. Because that you lose, I feel like this team has been building a ton of momentum since the second half of that Louisville game. Don't let it go to waste against freaking Walt Bell and UMass. Blow them out and give us a chance to where we wake up, in a few weeks thinking, hey, we might beat Clemson today, which nobody thought heading into the season.
Yeah. So the next week will be NC State, who had a really good game on the road at Boston College, a matchup between a couple of FSU's upcoming opponents. NC State ends up winning that game 33-7. I like that this game is back in Tallahassee. I think that it would be pretty tough. NC State has looked good at times, but they have been very hot and cold. They lost to a Mississippi State team 24-10 early in the year. They barely beat Louisiana Tech just 2 weeks ago. Well, I guess it was 3 weeks ago now because they had a bye. But and then they beat BC with a couple of splash plays. It was 33-7, but they had a blocked punt for a touchdown. They also had a couple of tipped interceptions that kind of gave them short fields. Devin Leary looked pretty good, 16 for 24, 251 yards. That is kind of what will worry me there is their passing game. He had 3 touchdowns as well. He's going to worry me. Throwing the ball, but Florida State against NC State, I actually think that game may be just as tough as the Clemson one. You get a little bit of a break in talent level overall, but they definitely have a better quarterback. Thank God that game is in Tallahassee. Obviously, Raleigh gets scary enough to play at when we are good. Spooky. But that NC State game will be a tough one. For Florida State to pull off. Obviously, if they pull off the upset in either of those games, would be massive.
Huge. Yeah.
The next week is a Miami team who, I will say this, is as bad as they've been, I'm not as sold that that's a guaranteed win as I was last week. They definitely looked better against North Carolina. Now, North Carolina's not good, but that kid, Tyler Van Dyke or whatever his name is, pretty good. Looked pretty comfortable out there against North Carolina, who, again, they're not great, but looked really good. They've still got some athletes. And so I think that game is going to be an absolute battle. It's 2-2-4 teams right now. So we'll see who goes into that game with the better record. May go in at the same record at 3-6.
Well, they have NC State, so I don't know about that.
Do they play a winnable game until then?
No, they have NC State next. I'm not sure who's after that.
NC State, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech.
That's 1-2 right there.
Yeah, they could maybe upset Georgia Tech. So the Miami game will be one that's fun. I don't know how much different I feel about that. I would pick Miami if that game was today, but it would be like razor thin. But
you going
that's
up to that, TJ?
Probably. probably. I mean, it's tough with two kids and everything else.
I have no kids and I don't really want to go. So
but I probably am. I think I'm going out this weekend. I think I'm going up to the UMass game.
Yeah, I mean, front row for $12. Can't beat it.
Some of us have season tickets, bro. Like, relax. So the Miami game one, I mean, I think we'll know more about that game as we get a little bit closer. I want to see how Florida State plays against Clemson, how they play against NC State. See, the North Carolina game was so different than the way we played last year. So I just need to know that North Carolina game this year wasn't a mirage and that we actually can play well and be a good team. And
that's what scares me about Clemson is that we didn't know, TJ, what we were going to do to North Carolina to where we, outside of the 10-0 start for the Heels, we kind of dominated the game. And we're not going to learn anything against UMass because it's UMass. They're 128, like you just said, out of 130 teams in the country. So Clemson, like, just don't get blown out by Clemson is all I ask. Because even if you lose a close one, I think fans will be happy and say, hey, it's still Clemson. They still have, you know, one of the top four rosters in the country like they will every single year for the foreseeable future. Keep that game close. And that might be enough confidence to get a win over NC State, Boston College, a Miami team, Florida. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with Florida.
That Boston College game, going to that one really, really quickly. That one I feel a little bit better about. I know that's on the road.
In November.
But that's not easy. But they're a team that barely beat UMass, right? Like, beat UMass by 17, so enough. But hopefully we beat UMass by more.
If we beat UMass by 17, I'll be upset.
They played Clemson close, right? Only lost to Clemson by 6. And then they just got blown out by NC State. Got some other good – they've got a good win against Missouri in there. Not that Missouri's great, but, you know, any kind of win against a Power 5 or SEC school is definitely not awful, as long as it's not Vandy, right? But, they're a tricky team. They play Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech before us, so I think we'll know a lot more about that team when we get there. And then obviously you finish up with Florida, who they're so weird. They, you know, their offense looks terrible one game, and then their defense looks bad the next. They can't score against Kentucky, and they can't stop LSU. LSU's not good this year. But for the second year in a row, and I believe the 9th out of 12 times, Coach Orgeron gets LSU to win. Not that he's been there for all of them, but for the 9th out of 12 times, LSU beats Florida.
Shout out to a friend of the show, Brad Johnson, and his son, Max, for going 2-0 against Florida now.
I mean, I love to see it. I mean, not that it's not impressive that he's done that, but I mean, just every quarterback does that. Yeah. They've won like 9 of their last 12. Like, they just, Florida is just, I don't know. It's great to see. We can talk about them for just a minute. I'd still pick Florida over us. I mean, still think that's going to be the toughest game left on the schedule. I think that one will be even tougher than the Clemson game because their offense is a little bit better. Yeah. And I think that we'll be able to run on them a little bit, but I just don't know that it'll be enough to actually win that game. We'll kind of need some big breaks to go in our favor because I do think that they have a lot of talent on offense that we will struggle with. But it is nice seeing Florida struggle, a team that really thought that they had aspirations of getting to the SEC championship game, of dethroning Alabama, Georgia, and the, you know, Texas A&M, the actual good teams in the SEC. It's fun to watch Dan Mullen be an absolute clown that he is and continue to lose games.
How many wins over Power 5 teams does Florida have, TJ?
This year they beat Vandy and Tennessee.
So they have two?
Yeah.
What does Florida State have?
Same as us.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on in this state right now. And Miami has zero, by the way.
I saw a stat that said that if Florida State does end up beating UMass, which we very much expect, Dan Mullen and Mike Norvell's records over the last 10 games will both be 4-6.
Jeez.
Not good, but it's great to see that. It's great to see Dan Mullen win 10 games twice in a row and Florida think that he was the greatest thing ever. And then once Jim McElwain's players are no longer there, Mullen is about to put together back-to-back 8-4 seasons. And so that is beautiful to see. You want a guy like Mark Richt in at Florida because he's always going to be just good enough to keep his job, but never good enough to put them over the top. He doesn't have that killer instinct like Jimbo Fisher has. He doesn't have that killer instinct like Nick Saban obviously has, or even Dabo Sweeney or any, you know, Urban Meyer or Lincoln Riley or any of those guys didn't have that killer instinct, can't put a team over the top. And so you want a guy like that, that will just keep them just good enough to keep his job, but never good enough to get over the hump and take them to the promised land like so many other coaches have. I don't think he has Kirby Smart's killer instinct. And I think he's a better game day coach. He's a better X's and O's guy. But I'd take Kirby Smart in a do or die last second, because I think Mullen just kind of sits on his hands and I don't know. He's just not that guy. You know the "you're not that guy" videos? He's not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
Mullen's
not that guy. Dan Mullen, I think, would be a top five offensive coordinator in the NFL. Like his X's and O's are so strong. It's a
good thing for us the NFL didn't want him last year.
Yeah, which is wild, because I think there's a place in the NFL for him, and I hope the NFL still does not want him, because, man, that guy, he is a legitimate genius on the offensive side of the ball when calling plays and scheming things open. He can't recruit, which is the biggest thing in college. Like, if you can't recruit in college football, there's no reason Dan Mullen should not have his pick of five-star quarterbacks every single year, and no one even wants to listen to him or take a call from the guy, and he doesn't get the elite players in the trenches either. And like you mentioned, he's Mark Richt. Like, he's the perfect guy. He's Jimbo Fisher without Jameis Winston. Like, that's what he is.
Yeah, no. I mean, at least Jimbo was a great recruiter, right?
Yeah, like, Jimbo. And he knew to fill a staff of recruiters. You know, Eddie Grant's and James Coley's, those guys.
That's the other thing, too. He knew how to surround himself with talent. And Mullen doesn't – he can't assemble a staff. He can't – I mean, I don't know what's happened with his QB developing, but this is Emory's third or fourth year in the season in the system, and he's terrible. Can't recruit. Way too loyal to people, whether that be players that he should be starting somebody else or whether that be coaches or whatever, you know. And that's what happened. These guys are buddies. They don't want to fire their friends. I get it, you know, but sometimes you got to, you know, I mean, it usually ends up working out for them. You know, they end up failing their way into $75 million contracts, but, you know,
at the end of the day. Does any conference just recycle the same coaches like the SEC does? It's like the NFL, right? It's just, you were coached here. Yeah, we'll take you. Yeah, we'll take you. Yeah, come be our coordinator. The SEC, they don't want any outsiders. They're just going to shuffle coaches all around.
Yeah. I think that it's kind of good for us, because if they'd have won 10 games one or two more times, he would have gone to the NFL. But now, I mean, I think it's good because he'll be there for a while. So
you can't fire him, right? Yeah.
No. I mean, look what they were coming from. So yeah, you know, they're kind of stuck in purgatory, but that's fine with me. All right, what's your final record right now if you had to predict it? Florida State season, obviously we're going to say we're 3-4 after seven games. We're going to be underdogs in every other game the rest of the way, I would think. Yeah. How many upsets do we get?
We should be. I'm trying. Going back to that second half of Louisville, I feel really good. I think the team has made tangible progress each step along the way since then, from the second half of Louisville to Syracuse to North Carolina. I just don't know that the trenches are an issue for me. I don't know if we can hold up in there. I'll say 4-8. We beat UMass and we get one more. I can't get us to 5 or 6 right now, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope after Clemson, because UMass again, we're not going to learn anything, but I hope after I watch us play Clemson, I can say either we beat them or we're close enough to where I can say, you know, we might get to 5 or 6, but as of today, I'm going to say 4-8.
I'm between 4-5. I think I'm with you. I need to see us play Clemson before I can get to that fifth win. Or maybe I'll get real froggy on here next Sunday if we beat UMass by 50. Maybe I'll go with 5 wins.
Are we going to have over half of the Double Fries staff predict Florida State to beat Clemson? Because that would be just wild.
I'm going to go with less. If we win by 40 or more, I'll take us to beat Clemson.
Okay. We might, because UMass is that bad.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, couple of quick things and we'll get out of here. Iowa loses. Cincinnati now goes to number 2. They're in, right? Like, you can't put them to number 2.
If they win out, they're in. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If they were to win out, you can't drop them. How mad does that make UCF fans? Make them pretty mad.
they picked the wrong year to be good.
Yeah, we've never seen it. I do think Cincinnati.
This is 2007 good. Again. This is 2007.
I think Cincinnati's good, but I just think there's no one else that's good. Like, they're like that UCF year, there were other good teams that made it tough. Now it's just like, okay, well, somebody has to be in the playoff. So anyway, yeah, it's probably going to end up being what? Georgia, Cincinnati,
Oklahoma, now that they picked the right quarterback.
And Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah, they're. I don't see Ohio State losing another game this year. Michigan, I guess, is a dark horse that could crash the party. But
yeah, Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State are all undefeated still. Yeah,
Big Ten's looking good, man.
I think in 2 weeks, so that Halloween game that we're talking about, Florida, Georgia, Florida State, Clemson,
yeah,
Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, Michigan State. Oof. That's like.
That's a spooky day right there.
Can you even believe that I put a Florida State Clemson game in that lineup? But I'm still excited to see it, see where we're at. We expected to lose that game by 30 plus. So if we lose by 15, then I'm going to be thrilled.
Yeah,
so,
right.
UGA, speaking of them, they're just dominating everybody. Oh. Kentucky actually covered the spread with 3 seconds to go last night in the absolute most garbage time backdoor cover I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Horrid for anyone that took UGA minus 21 and a half. I mean, I didn't, so it's fine.
I did.
yeah, bad way to lose. But UGA is absolutely on another level right now. They continue to just dominate everyone in their path. They do not play a good team left on the schedule. Obviously, they have the cocktail party, which obviously things get weird in rivalry games, but they don't play another good team that they should lose to until they take on Alabama in Atlanta.
If it's Alabama, if they drop another game, it may be someone else.
That's true. But I think Texas A&M has lost two SEC games. They'd have the win against them, the head-to-head. So, yeah.
They've already lost two, and they'd have to win out at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, the West has turned into the East, and the East has turned into the West with one good team. So, anyway, I like Georgia. I know we say this a lot. Well, not a lot, but I know that we've said this before, but – it might be Georgia's year, man.
Harlan's asking if a two-loss Bama team gets in.
I don't think so.
Any other year, I'd say absolutely not. This might be the year we have to have a two-loss team in the playoff just because they're dropping like flies, and we're only 6 weeks in. So I don't know. I agree with you today, TJ, that no. But I just think this season's going to be funky, and we're going to have – I think I would not be surprised if we had a two-loss team. I won't predict it, but it would not surprise me at all.
What would make it tough is that I think the Big Ten champ is going to finish with one loss or less.
Yeah.
And I think Oklahoma finishes with just the one loss. So if that's the case, you're going to need Cincinnati to drop. You're going to need, Bama to beat Georgia in the SEC, which then, they wouldn't have two losses. So anyway, I think it'd be tough. But if like a really weird weekend happens again, I guess stranger things have happened.
You were really young, but and I was young, but I barely remember it. Thinking of that, I think it was 98. It was either 98 or 2000. One of the years we lost in the national title game, where so many teams had to lose just for Florida State to even get into it, and that was just when there was two teams in the BCS. Because like Kansas State lost, they would have been in. I think Miami beat UCLA, they would have been in over us. And Miami actually beat us that year, and we still made it into the playoff or the BCS championship game. I think we could have we have 6 weeks left. So championship Sunday could be one like that, but it just a lot of fun. College football is the greatest sport in the world. And this is why right here.
Yeah. No, it's a ton of fun. Excited for our team to take the field on Saturday, get back into watching them compete and watching them play. Richie, do you have any shout outs before we get out of here though?
Just shout out my buddy Weston. I was his best man, he was mine. I'm going to with my wife to meet him, his wife, and his two kids at SeaWorld, and probably not do any of the fun rides and just go to like Pets Ahoy or something. So it'll be a blast. And then we'll watch the Steelers tonight. He's a big Pittsburgh fan. So they're staying with us and we'll watch the Steelers. So shout out Najee Harris, my fantasy football running back.
I don't have any shout-outs today. Shout out Florida State for not losing for the third week in a row. Other than that, That's all I got. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. Interact with us on social media. We definitely appreciate it. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you find the pod. We appreciate that. Double fries, no slaw. Again, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the UMass game. That will be a quick episode because I have nothing to say about UMass. But
we have the biggest UMass insider ready for interview. No, just kidding.
We'll do our prize picks and get out of here. So maybe because it's halfway through the year, Richie can recap the prize picks, see where we stand on that.
Actually, I will. I'll go back and listen to those.
So anyway, all right. Thank you guys for hanging out. Until next time, go Noles.